The Sound of Silence.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. American and British engineers have unveiled a futuristic new design for passenger aircraft. The SAX-40 is ultra-fuel efficient and practically silent. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
The research team from MIT and Cambridge University has come up with a radically different aircraft shape. Gone is the thin tube. The central part of this plane is wide and shaped like a wedge. The engines would be on top, so the plane itself would shield people on the ground from noise. The SAX-40 is reckoned to be 3,000 times quieter than a conventional passenger jet, and it's extremely fuel efficient, says project leader Anne Dowling.
We get lift from the center body as well as from the wings, and that makes it very efficient. We estimate something like 35% less fuel burnt, and that means less CO2.
But in spite of its green credentials, analysts say the chances of the silent plane taking off in the near future are slim. The cost of launching such a radically different aircraft, they say, would be prohibitive. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Never in the history of Wall Street have so many earned so much. Bloomberg News says the top five brokerage firms will have quite a holiday bonus for their employees. The firms are Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, and Bear Stearns. Workers will get $36 billion in bonuses. That's a 30% hike from last year's record. The 165 countries which ratified the Kyoto Climate Treaty gather in Nairobi today for talks on extending the pact. Delegates to the UN's climate talks are worried. The U.S. isn't participating, Europe's carbon markets have crumbled, and developing countries still don't want to cap emissions. But from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner says treaty supporters believe the pact can still work.
Over the next 2 weeks, officials at the Nairobi talks will push for a major expansion of Kyoto's Clean Development Mechanism, or CDM. It's one of two key carbon credit schemes in the treaty. CDM allows rich countries to win emissions credits by investing in clean energy projects in poor countries. UN officials say helping developing nations like China and India cut their growing greenhouse gases is essential to combat global warming. John Cookett of Greenpeace is in Nairobi this week pushing that plan.
Not only does this transfer money, it also transfers technology, and it builds some support within the developing world that they can move forward under the protocol.
Critics of the CDM market, though, say the UN isn't monitoring the program tightly enough. They say it's ripe for corruption. But a key UN climate official said last week he saw no inherent problem in scaling up the trading scheme. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
When's the last time you saw a $2 bill? Well, the Federal Reserve says its popularity has grown quickly in the last 5 years. Orders for the bill topped $122 million last year. That's up from $92 million in 2001. Nobody knows exactly what's driving the increase in circulation. However, word is the bill appears to be in wide use in strip clubs. The market was down for much of the week, and that was pretty much the way things ended Friday. The Dow fell 32 points to 11,986. The Nasdaq was down 3 points to 2330, and the S&P slipped 3 points to 1364. This is Marketplace. Time to open the vault and take a look at this week in business history. What's this? A flat iron, a top hat, and a thimble.
During the Depression, cash was scarce, so it probably wasn't surprising that Monopoly was a smash as soon as it hit store shelves this week back in 1935. Sure, those gold-colored $500 notes weren't exactly money in the bank, but at least you could feel rich for a little while. Monopoly was developed by Charles Darrow, a salesman who lost his job after the stock market crash in 1929. He sold the patent to Parker Brothers and became a millionaire, and Monopoly went on to become the best-selling board game of all time. The original design hasn't changed much, but it has spawned hundreds of spin-offs. There's Star Wars Monopoly, SpongeBob Monopoly, even a 21st century version where you get $2 million for pass and go. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Urban Fellows, preparing people of all ethnic and racial backgrounds for leadership for more than 36 years at NUF.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. We know that in order to grow a plant, you need a seed and put it in the soil and give it plenty of water and sunlight. It turns out that growing a business requires similar ingredients. Entrepreneurs need contacts, financial support, and expertise. Researchers call that an entrepreneurial ecosystem. Today, we visit one in Maryland that helped to create a trailblazing computer simulation company. From the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk, Steve Tripoli reports.
A computer simulator at a company called Simmersion has me playing the role of an army chaplain. It's a training exercise where I'm questioning a troubled young recruit named Billy Parker. Billy's a videotaped actor, and the computer picks his answers based on my questions. It seems like something's been bothering you lately. How are you feeling?
I don't know. Nothing's going right. Keep getting into arguments with everyone. Just I'm so mad all the time.
The questions are supposed to gauge just how troubled Billy is without driving him away. Billy lets on that he's thought of harming himself. A new question brings more revelations. Billy, help me understand why you're thinking about suicide now.
Because my life sucks. Because I'm going home to visit my mom, and I gotta explain to her and the rest of the family how I'm such a screw-up, that my wife can't stand to be with me, that she's leaving me.
Don't worry, we won't leave you hanging about poor Billy. Simmersion got its start in Columbia, Maryland, because founder Dale Olson was a veteran of the Applied Physics Lab at Johns Hopkins University. Hopkins has lots of smart people, a key ingredient in what business folks call an entrepreneurial ecosystem. Dale Olson says those contacts helped his startup from outside when he wasn't big enough to have their skills inside.
What I had is really strong people, people who made movies and were willing to stick their neck out to help go a little bit above and beyond, people who wrote software and were willing to put a little extra time in to make sure things were done well and done right. There was a lot of pieces put together.
Hopkins colleagues also helped Olson with computer, editing, and budgeting support. And Olson's many years with those people brought his startup more than brains.
I had earned the trust and confidence of the people around me, and so they gave me more latitude than they might have given somebody without having done what I had done.
One way they helped, Olson says the Applied Physics Lab didn't insist on timely payment for some services when he was struggling. Joe Hadzima helps loads of startups worldwide through the MIT Enterprise Forum near Boston. Hadzima says stories like Olson's follow a familiar entrepreneurial recipe.
The base components in my mind are knowledge and information on how to do an entrepreneurial thing, role models, and the network that allows you to connect with people and ideas and money.
Back in Maryland, Olson's startup has a logical customer base among federal agencies. They buy training simulations teaching everything from courtroom questioning to sensitivity to Middle Eastern cultures. My simulation revealed at the end that poor Billy Parker wasn't at high risk for suicide, but before I knew that, I'd extracted a promise. Okay, Billy, tell me your understanding of what we're going to do.
I'm going to come and talk to you tomorrow.
Maybe I'm in the wrong line of work. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
You probably think you're chosen at random.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.